You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Punt Podcast, in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur.
I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
Mercy.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 anytime. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Great, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. Their odds against. Love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Yes, hello everyone and a warm welcome along to the final edition of The Punt Podcast for 2018, taking a look at four live televised games on this edition. Sam Norris here in the presenter's chair for this edition of The Punt Podcast. We'll be hearing, as ever, from Pete Farries, Gav Puchalowski and Al Ross a little bit later on the Football League. But joining myself to look at some of the televised Premier League games that we've got coming up, it's Derek McGovern as always, and we're also joined on the line this week by our FWA guest, who is Dominic Fifield of The Guardian, their London football correspondent. First of all, Dominic, it's a very warm welcome to the podcast to you. How are you, sir?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Good. Yeah, not too bad at all. Have you enjoyed the festive period thus far?
I have. My own team didn't score a goal, but there you go. That's the kind of everything. But I've seen a couple of good games, competitive matches so far, and I'm looking forward to the next round of fixtures coming up.
Who's your team, Dominic?
Crystal Palace.
Right.
Crystal Palace.
Okay.
We had our moment before Christmas.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, it hasn't been all bad, has it?
No, exactly.
And rounding out the team, of course, Punt Podcast regular Derek McGovern. Derek, how are you?
Yeah, great. My team's been the opposite. That's just about to say. What a Christmas! Unbelievable. And Thursday, it all boils down to Thursday's game now, doesn't it? So I think if we avoid defeat in that one, the title finally could be coming back home.
But yeah, that's going to be an absolutely massive game, of course. We'll be getting stuck into that one very shortly. But we'll start with the games coming up on New Year's Day. And we begin at Goodison with the 12:30 kickoff. Everton taking on Leicester with this one. Everton are even money. The draw is 12-5. Leicester priced up at 29-10. As ever, a raft of enhanced odds on this match here with William Hill. Richarlison to score in an Everton win. That was 11-5, is now 5-2. Jamie Vardy to score in a Leicester win. That was 5-1, now out to 6-1. Stacks of enhanced odds on the website for this one. Derek, we'll start with your thoughts on this game. Two teams that have blown a little bit hot and cold somewhat. Everton just the one win from the last seven in the Premier League. That was a 5-1 thumping at Burnley. Leicester have been a little bit more consistent with obviously the huge wins recently over the likes of Chelsea and Manchester City, but have lost to Crystal Palace and Cardiff as well during that recent run of form. I thought this was two tough teams to gauge and I thought it might be a tricky betting heap, but I'm not sure I want any piece of Everton at even money.
No, way too short. And you're right, you're reading it right there, Sam. Leicester are too big. They still have a huge bearing, this match, on the battle for eighth spot, I think. Marco Silva has successfully dampened expectations at Everton, mainly when he took the manager's job. He was brought to Goodison to turn Everton into winners. Instead, he's turned them into Watford. It's all gone pear-shaped for them. Leicester's home form is identical to their away form. 4 wins, 2 draws, 4 defeats. Everton's home form is the exact opposite of their away form. Now, I'll tell you what that all means when someone has the decency to tell me. It's a tough one to call, you're right, but the odds command an interest in Leicester. I can't explain how they can beat Chelsea and Man City and then go lose to Palace and Cardiff. It's just, you know, people say Spurs are Spursy. Well, Leicester are being very Leicester-y at the moment. There were whispers that Leicester boss Claude Puel had lost the dressing room. Well, on the weekend evidence, that would be good news for Leicester, only if the players were in there at the same time. But they're a team that you want to back when they're big prices. You don't want to back Leicester when they're odds on territory because, you know, they're capable of having an absolute howler. But when the tasty prices, and they are here, you've got to own them. And when you just read about Everton, only one win in the last seven.
Yep.
Not good enough, is it? Not good enough. I think Leicester, you've got to back here.
And if they have turned into Watford, things will be looking pretty bleak because Watford usually tail right off after the turn of the year. So things could be getting even worse for them. The draw priced up at 12-5 here. Interestingly, of all Premier League fixtures to have been played more than 20 times, this fixture has produced the highest number of draws by percentage, with 52% of Premier League games between this pair ending level. Dominic, come to you with your thoughts on the Claude Puel, Jamie Vardy dynamic that's been developing in recent times. Vardy has voiced the fact that Puel's system perhaps isn't his preferred way of playing. He's frustrated with the playing style. Was withdrawn after 68 minutes against Cardiff, meaning that he wasn't on the pitch for Leicester's penalty, which Maddison duly missed. What have you made of this developing narrative between the two?
Well, I saw it firsthand in the Chelsea fixture during that game before the decisive goal that was scored by Vardy. Puel had a Well, he actually lost his rag, and you don't often see that a lot with Claude Puel. His charisma isn't one of his fortes, but he lost his rag with Vardy once or twice on the touchline in the first half in particular. Obviously, when the goal went in, he actually didn't show much emotion at all, which I think, looking back, in hindsight, was probably quite telling. There clearly is an issue there. But the reality is that the type of games that they've won recently, as you say, the Chelsea match and Manchester City games, they're almost matches where they could play to their old style. You know, they're not going to have as much possession as those two teams, but they can hit them on the counter. They will retain that bite and threat on the counter attack with Vardy and the team, and they can play to that strength. The winning goal at Chelsea was fantastically well constructed, with a lovely little pass from James Maddison into Vardy at the end. And they have that capacity to do that. They still have an underlying quality to, within their squad. I suppose Everton could play into their palms a bit in this fixture because Everton will expect to dominate the ball in a match as well. I mean, Cardiff City, on the other hand, and even Crystal Palace at Selhurst Park just didn't. I mean, they were quite happy to sit back and try and get Leicester to break them down. That isn't what they're particularly good at the moment. So maybe, and this is the type of game that would suit Leicester City slightly more, Everton have just been infuriating, absolutely infuriating to watch. And to be honest, I've always had my doubts about Marco Silva. I think he takes whichever team he coaches to a certain point quite quickly, and people get blown away by the initial burst of progress they make, and then they forever seem to hit a wall. And there are mitigating circumstances at most of the clubs, and this was his big opportunity to show what he could do at a bigger side with a proper budget to compete in the transfer market and get into that top seven or eight. I suppose they're only, a point off seventh place at the moment, but they've sort of been a bit underwhelming, really, and particularly of late. I saw them get a good point at Chelsea earlier in the season. They looked as if they were just starting to kick on and go to the next level, and they really haven't progressed at all since then. And the last home game against Tottenham Hotspur was the match that sort of showed where they really are, and that was a proper humbling.
Yeah, it could be a good opportunity for Leicester, this one. That's the early kickoff on New Year's Day. Leicester priced up 29-10 for that one. Everton are even money. The draw is 12-5. On to the late game on New Year's Day, then. This is a 5:30 kickoff. Cardiff taking on Spurs. Obviously, Cardiff beating Leicester in the last round of fixtures. Cardiff 6-1 for this. The draw is 130. Spurs priced up at the slightly bizarre 47-100 at the moment, but odds on anyway for this one. Harry Kane to score two or more was 29-10. That is now at 7-2 on the enhanced odds list. Harry Kane to score in a Spurs win is now 11-10 instead of 10-11. And Callum Patterson scoring a Cardiff win, that was 11-1, now out to a very big 14-1. A big 3 points for Cardiff over Leicester, of course. They now have a 3-point cushion from the relegation zone. Spurs, meanwhile, suffered a big setback against Wolves as they surrendered a 1-0 lead and lost 3-1. They're now 9 points off the title pace. That was off the back of 5 straight wins as well. Dominic, start with your thoughts on Spurs, first of all, I suppose. Every time we start to talk about Spurs as title contenders, they do something like that. Derek mentioned earlier on, people referred to them as being Spursy, and that was very Spurs-esque. Just as they'd arrived in the title fight, they seem to back away again. First things first, they're 9 points behind. Are they still in the title race? Were they ever?
To be honest, I don't think they ever were. They flirted with it, didn't they? It was a fantastic win at Everton and a great little run of form, actually. you know, really since the London Derby defeat to Arsenal, or Sunderland Derby defeat, but they're always playing catch-up, and the teams above them have got better squads, better first teams, I think. Just slightly, not a huge difference, I think, but better still. I still think Pochettino has done a wonderful job there, but it was almost like, you know, they're running into Wolves, who have taken a lot of points off the top teams and been very, very impressive in that respect. But they're a difficult team to break down. And if fatigue is kicking in, if you're lacking that little spark that's carried you through in recent matches, maybe you're not as open as, say, Bournemouth and Everton were in the previous two games. That was always going to be a tricky fixture. I don't think they'd lose it, but that was a fantastic, fantastic result for Wolverhampton Wanderers. You look at this match, and I mean, Cardiff will look at it and think, well, this could be Manchester United all over again. You know, proper quality team coming down to the Cardiff City Stadium. United scored 5 down there in their last home game. But Cardiff, since that match, have really tightened up. The 3 centre-halves at Palace were fantastic, and they were equally impressive up at Leicester City. There's a real resilience to them. And I was asked recently to ask who my manager of 2018 had been. And I actually went with Neil Warnock,
okay,
purely because it was ridiculous that he took them up. And to have kept them even outside the bottom three, even at this stage of the season, I think is an absolutely astonishing achievement.
Yeah, certainly so. I saw a great stat as well on Twitter that I've just got to bring to the podcast on Neil Etheridge, who's been one of, if not the best player for Cardiff this season. I haven't come up with this myself. I nicked it off Twitter from @Lewis9990. Neil Etheridge has saved 3 penalties this season, all from players who share a name with a former US president. Wilson, Kennedy and Madison are the 3 players that he saved penalties from this season. So a bizarre and brilliant stat, ultimately a little bit of a pointless one. But I wonder if there's anything in Harry Kane, Harry Truman coming into this match. Nonetheless, a fabulous stat. Anyway, Derek, your thoughts on this game. Cardiff have actually lost their last 14 games against the Big Six, managing to concede 45 goals during that time. And already this season, Arsenal scored 3, Chelsea got 4, Liverpool got 4, Manchester City got 5, Manchester United got 5 as well. Spurs only scored 1 in the reverse fixture. They've actually won their last 3 against Cardiff by a goal to nil. And even though the other Big Six have feasted on Cardiff this season, you just sense that this won't be an easy game for Spurs to bounce back in.
Well, I don't know if they've got anything about them, and they've proved in the last 3 seasons that they have, because they're the only one of the Big Six who's finished in the top 3 in each of those 3 seasons. So they're a proper side. And if they've got anything about them, they will bounce back, as big teams do that. And they'll be glad they're playing away from Wembley. If you look about as comfortable as that white horse at Wembley now. They've won more away games than anyone, City and Liverpool included. These are the teams he's beaten on the road this season. Newcastle, Man United, Brighton, Huddersfield, West Ham, Wolves, Palace, Leicester, Arsenal, Everton. They nearly won at Barcelona too. How can they not beat Cardiff? The 1-2 seasons ago, that would not be the kind of price that would interest you about Spurs, because, you know, they're still Spursy. That was still a stick to beat them with. But away from home now, they're just something to fill your boots on. Away from home at Cardiff, who basically seem to give up whenever a big team rides into town. You know, you know, there are some teams and some managers of lower place clubs who basically give up the ghost. They used to do it again when Fergie was in his pomp at Man United. They got so many easy games, Man United, because teams didn't try a leg against them. I suspect Newcastle were like that at Liverpool at Boxing Day, by the way. And I think you might well get the same at Cardiff. You shouldn't get that when they're at home, but there's plenty of evidence to suggest that they will do that. And I think Spurs are absolute certainties there.
It's an interesting point, actually. I remember an example. A few years ago, Mick McCarthy was fined for putting out an understrength Wolves side against Manchester United with an eye on the Burnley game the week after. And certainly the way Cardiff have turned up against some of the big sides, it would seem that they are prioritising more winnable fixtures this season. Would you back Spurs outright, Derek, or take them on the handicap?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I actually think this could be a cakewalk. So 1-2 might not interest too many people who've done the dough over the bank holiday period. So yeah, Spurs -1 or even -2, you'd be getting a tasty price for that. What price is -2 Spurs? I fancy a 3-0 here.
29-10 -2.
Yeah, I'll have a dabble on that.
Okay, Spurs -2, 29-10, and Dominic, the final word on this game from you. Are you expecting Spurs to bounce back?
Yes,
Absolutely, they'll win the game. They'll win the game.
Okay, on to the action on Wednesday evening then, where we go to St James Park for Newcastle taking on Manchester United. Newcastle are 5-1 here. The draw is 16-5. Manchester United in the betting at 11-20. A couple of enhanced odds already for this game. Solomon Rondon to score in a Newcastle win is 8-1 instead of 13-2. Marcus Rashford to score in a Manchester United win was 2-1. That is now out to 5-2. Dominic, again, start with you on this game. We've got to start with Paul Pogba, who seems to get more column inches and more broadcast time than arguably any other Premier League player. Seemingly a different player overnight since Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has taken over. They've won 5-1, 3-1 and 4-1. Pogba scored 4 goals during his last 2 games, more than his previous 20, I think, under Mourinho. There's been plenty of assists too. Another brace in this game would make him the first Manchester United player since Cristiano Ronaldo in 2006 to score 2 goals in 3 successive games. And whilst those 3 games have been winnable, Manchester United fans will be delighted with the manner that they've gone about those wins. But Pogba hasn't suddenly become a great player overnight. He didn't become a bad player overnight. Are the shackles off, or was there an element of Pogba perhaps not quite not putting it all in under Mourinho, but he certainly looks happier now?
Yeah, he undoubtedly looks happier. I think it's a lesson in management, this. You have to play. You have players of a certain calibre. You have players that like to play a certain way. You get the best out of them any way you can. And Jose Mourinho wasn't doing that, and he wasn't doing that with Paul Pogba, the club's record signing. And I look at it now, and the shackles are off all of them. But they're playing to their strengths. They look a lot more comfortable. They look a team that's, you know, remembered and been reminded of their qualities, their underlying qualities, and they're tearing into sides. Okay, look, the calibre of opposition hasn't been great, and it'll be interesting to see what happens when they come up against an elite team. But you can see the enjoyment is back. I think that's telling. I just think that says everything about the latter stages, actually quite a large proportion of Jose Mourinho's tenure at Old Trafford. You've got a bunch of players that have been desperate to express themselves in the way that they know best, and they're doing that now. Look, I know I'm probably guilty of hypocrisy here, because when Mourinho got sacked at Chelsea, I criticised the Chelsea players for turning up. I think their first game was at home to Sunderland after he'd gone, and considering it was sort of Didier Drogba was sitting up in the director's box watching affairs from up there, about to take over, and they tore Sunderland to pieces.
Yes.
And I thought this was, you know, players that suddenly, you know, betrayed the previous manager. But I think here is evidence that of the effect that Mourinho can have, sort of grinding down of a squad. And just sapping all the enjoyment and all the life out of things. Unfortunately, the modern day Mourinho just hasn't adapted, and you know, we've been here before. We know the reasons why it hasn't worked. But it is quite refreshing to see United doing what we expect United to do, and tearing at teams and being entertaining. And it's been a while since we've been able to say that.
Yeah, certainly so. And there's been smiles on faces as well amongst the United players and staff in recent times. In terms of this game, Dominic, Rafa said that Newcastle need a miracle to stay up. Is the situation quite that drastic?
No, they don't need a miracle to stay up. And they've got the best, one of the best tacticians in the table, certainly in the bottom half of the table. They're not going to do anything amazing. I mean, 10th place last season was pretty astonishing. If they got anywhere close to that, they should be really, really pleased, given. All the politics around that club and the lack of budget. I don't think it'd be enough to satisfy Benitez just to stay up, you know, 13th, 14th, 15th place, which is where they'll be. They won't go down. They won't go down. They've got too much quality and too much tactical nous in that dressing room to go down. And they're far worse teams at the bottom there. So I think a miracle is pushing it. But I can't see Benitez putting up with another season like this next year or beyond that. I fully expect him to leave unless something drastic changes at that club at the top.
Mm. Derek, on to your thoughts with this game. Obviously, as Dominic's mentioned there, there's going to be a proper acid test for Manchester United at some stage. Cardiff, Huddersfield and Bournemouth were all games that they feasibly could have won under Mourinho, and they could keep it going against a Newcastle team, which I imagine might set up to defend as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you could have drafted me in as manager at Man United and won those 3 games, and arguably this one as well. But all those people that said Pogba was the problem have been made to look a bit silly now, haven't they, since Mourinho went. Mourinho convinced Chelsea fans that Hazard was the problem as well, by the way. I mean, the guy was a joke, and it pains me to see Man United doing well as a Liverpool fan. But I want them to do well at the moment, because every time they do well, it's another nail in the coffin of that miserable, miserable Mourinho. Dominic Spice, he sucks the life out of clubs. He did it at Chelsea, and he managed to do it at Man United. In fact, in the reverse fixture, Newcastle were 2-0 up, remember, and looking home and hose, and then Man United came back late on. And that late comeback was probably the worst thing United could have done this season, because it saddled them with Mourinho for a couple of months longer. This is a tough one, this, because I fancy United to win it, but they're being priced up like they were, like the United under Fergie. The Man United under a novice manager, really, and have only beaten crappy clubs in the last couple of weeks. They could well go to Newcastle and win easily, because Newcastle have got... I'm surprised the fans are still turning up with so many, because they've played 10 home games this season, lost 7 of them, which is quite incredible. And they're not going to finish any here. They're not going to finish 10th again this season like they did last season, which wasn't a miraculous achievement, because right even now, the gap between 13th and 14th place in the Premier League, which you'd imagine on the top of your head to be about a point or two, it's 6 points between 13th and 14th. Newcastle are in 15th. They're not good enough to claw back that gap. I've got to go for United. They used to play with abandon under Fergie, under Mourinho. All that was abandoned. It was hope. But now they're back and they will win this one.
11-20 for Manchester United to win this one. And if you wanted to continue to follow the man in form, Paul Pogba, he's 5-1 score first or last, 29-20 any time. And 8-1 score two or more, as of course he has done on his last couple of outings. But it could well be a fourth win in succession for Manchester United when they take on Newcastle. On to the big one then, 8 o'clock Thursday night at the Etihad. Manchester City taking on Liverpool, obviously first and second in the Premier League. Manchester City 21-20 here. The draw is 11-4. Liverpool at 12-5. Sergio Aguero to score in a Manchester City win was 21-10. That's now out to 5-2. And Mohamed Salah to score in a Liverpool win, that was 4-1. And that is now out to 5-1. Obviously, Derek, a massive game. No team has ever had that kind of cushion going into the new year and not gone on to win the title, although Liverpool have had a way of managing to defy these stats. I think they're the last two sides who've been top at Christmas and not gone on to win the title. A couple of questions first and foremost, Derek, before we get into the game. One, are you daring to dream yet? And two, are you finally convinced with Salah?
Yes and no. The previous two times they topped the league at Christmas, the gap was never nowhere near as healthy. I can't believe that the 7 points clear at this stage. It's all to do with their fantastic run. I mean, an unbelievable points tally at this stage, but also with City slipping up so unexpectedly. I mean, I watched last season, they met loads of times, and Liverpool beat City 3 times. Each time, I thought City outclassed them, you know. I know they had that, it was a 50-minute purple patch in that 3-0 win at Anfield. But every time I thought, City are miles better than us. And I can't believe Liverpool are so far clear of them now. You know, remember that City documentary recently when Pep Guardiola made it clear Liverpool scare him to death? Remember that when he was in charge of an Everton game and he, you know, the cameras were in the dressing room? I'm amazed that was allowed to be aired, because so much is made of all the claptrap managers saying his supposed mind games, but this was genuine Guardiola. And those words must have made Liverpool players feel $1 million. I can't believe City allowed that to go out. In the Anfield match earlier in the season, it was a phony war. We were all expecting an absolute classic, but it was one of the dullest matches of the season. It can't be like that again, because City can't afford to draw here. It's 7 points now. Liverpool only dropped 6 points all season long. I just can't see that. I can't see it being a boring match. But City will come out at Liverpool, and that will play into Liverpool's hands. They didn't do it at Anfield, but they have to do it this time around. And given that Liverpool aren't making any mistakes at the moment, given that the front three are finally clicking, in particular Firmino, who has been diabolical all season, but will look back to his best at the weekend, I've got to go for Liverpool at these odds. You're not going to see Liverpool at these kind of odds very often. I know it's at City, but still, I think they've still got to be backed. I think City have turned useless since Sergio Aguero dyed his hair, by the way. I mean, it just doesn't look right, does he, Aguero, running around like that? I like Liverpool here. I think City have got to come out, and that will play into Klopp's hands.
12-5 for Liverpool in this one. And you're absolutely sure, Derek, it's a new year. You can start with a clean slate when it comes to Salah, or are you sticking to it.
No, well, I can't knock his goal tally. I don't be stupid. It's impossible to knock his goal tally. But as I said last season, you know, Clive Allen scored a million goals and disappeared without trace the following season. This season round, Mo Salah has not played well. He scored a few goals, you know, two or three of them penalties, by the way. But he's not playing well. He had a reasonably decent game the other night. I watch him regularly as a Liverpool player, and as a Liverpool fan. And I'm thinking, I honestly can't see it. But as you well know, Sam, I'm in a minority of one there.
Yes. I bet you're sick of the constant questioning, aren't you, really? Every week, oh, yes, regardless, yes, of who's on the, yes, podcast.
The number of arguments I've had in pubs over it as well. It's, yeah, amazing.
Dominic, onto your thoughts with this game. 8 straight wins for Liverpool in all competitions. City obviously bouncing back from 2 straight defeats with a win over Southampton last time out. They've had just the 1 win over Liverpool the last 11 times the two have met, but that did come at the Etihad last year when they thrashed Liverpool 5-0. We're obviously expecting, stroke hoping for plenty of goals here. As Derek points out, the reverse fixture didn't really live up to the hype earlier on in the season. And will there be any part of Klopp's mind here that thinks, let's try not to lose this match, or is that out of the question given his philosophy?
I just don't see how he does that. That's not his way, is it? At all. Last season's 5-0, when it was in those early stages, and Derek, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought that Liverpool actually really competed very well and were probably arguably the better team, even when City were 1-0 up, until the sending off of Sadio Mane, which obviously then completely changed the complexion of it, and they were overrun thereafter. But I think, and then obviously to come and do that in the Champions League and hit them twice where City were pushing desperately to try and get a second goal, that was a killer punch in that one. They have got the capacity to get right under City's skin. I don't think they'll do this. They're swarming best at the weekend against Arsenal. They were absolutely. For a 10-15 minute period, they were unplayable. You couldn't contend with them, and Arsenal were just fell to pieces as a result. I don't think Liverpool can do that at the Etihad Stadium, but it's a hell of a way of boosting confidence going into that match to know that you've got the capacity to summon one of those whirlwinds that Klopp loves. In the middle of a match, just from 1-0 down as well in that fixture, it was like watching the Liverpool of last season all over again, and we haven't seen that actually very often through an unbeaten campaign to date. I mean, as Derek said, that their front three hasn't always functioned quite as smoothly as it did last year. The big difference this time, obviously, is Van Dijk and Alisson and the impact they've made. I wish Gomez was available for this game, because I think if that centre-half pairing of Gomez and Van Dijk with Alisson at their back was going to the Etihad, Liverpool would prevail. I think that's the best centre half pairing in the Premier League at the moment, and arguably the best goalkeeper as well. It's an intriguing game because all the urgency and all the desperation is with City. They've got to do something more. They can't afford to drop any kind of point here. They've got to win this match. Maybe that will leave them exposed the longer it goes. On the counter-attack, and then Liverpool can then generate a head of steam. But it'll be far more entertaining than the game at Anfield earlier this season. And I do now look back at that and wonder whether Riyad Mahrez missed penalty that day. That was the moment, possibly. You know, we look back at Arsenal's season when the Invincibles and Van Nistelrooy's penalty miss in that game, which was so decisive in that title race. I'm not saying Liverpool will necessarily go unbeaten, but it could be the moment that we look back on and think, well, that's where the title was won.
Well, that was going to be my next question to you both chaps. If Liverpool can get through this without losing, is an unbeaten season genuinely on the cards?
Well, I know. I think they're 7-1, aren't they, to go through the season unbeaten?
Yes.
No, because the Champions League comes into play again. In February, they've got to be sidetracked by that. I honestly don't think they're good enough to go through a season unbeaten. Then, you know, Arsenal did it in 2004, I think it was. The Arsenal squad then was a lot better than this Liverpool one. And as I said here before, I actually don't think going through a season unbeaten, okay, it's a reasonable achievement, but is it anything? Like, you could go through a season unbeaten and still finish fourth. So, you know, I won't be pulling up any trees in celebration if Liverpool go through the season unbeaten. If they win the league, on the other hand, you won't see me for dust.
The Arsenal fans haven't stopped talking about their unbeaten season since 04. But as you say, Derek, when it comes with the title, that's all that matters.
It is.
And Dominic, do you think there's a genuine chance Liverpool unbeaten this season?
Realistically, no. I don't think so. I think the Premier League. I mean, I think it would be terribly unhealthy for the Premier League if they did go unbeaten. But I think that in the last few weeks we had this period in the autumn where we were worried that the sort of surprise element of teams taking on the top six had sort of gone from the division, and no one seemed to be causing an upset anymore. The top six were just, or top five really, were just steamrolling everybody. It was sort of the reaction to the Leicester City title success from a few years back. But I think the last few weeks, with teams like Wolves doing what they've done, Leicester winning at Chelsea, Palace winning at City, and Leicester beating City as well, I think that just shows that to go an entire Premier League season unbeaten is pretty unrealistic these days. And that is healthy for the Premier League, because the last thing you want is it to look completely uncompetitive. You want that element of surprise in there all the time. I think Derek's absolutely right. Once the Champions League kicks in, the clutter of fixtures that's coming up as well with domestic cups as well. So I think Liverpool will slip up at some stage. But if they've retained or opened up an even bigger gap than the 7 points they currently enjoy over Man City, I don't think it matters if they lose a game. I think the title will be theirs.
Yeah, can't wait for that game coming up on Thursday at 8 p.m. at the Etihad. Just before we wrap up then, Derek, what's the nap this week?
Well, I would just say to any punters listening, go for aways this weekend. This New Year's Day, because there's some big priced aways. Burnley 3-1 to win at Huddersfield. Why are they 3-1? It's a massive price. That got to back that. Got to be my nap.
Yeah, it took a huge step forward, beating West Ham last time out. Of course, I'm going to go for Leicester, as we mentioned a little bit earlier on. Derek, Everton at even money. Does not appeal at all. So as a price play, they're a little bit inconsistent, Leicester, but 29-10, I'm not sure they should be anywhere near that price away at Goodison. So that about wraps up the Premier League. We'll be hearing very shortly on the Football League in just a moment, but it's a massive thank you to Dominic Fifield. Dom, it's been a pleasure to have you on the podcast this week, and enjoy the football. Have a good New Year.
Happy New Year to you both. All the best.
And Derek, likewise, we'll see you back on the punt next week. Thanks,
yeah,
chaps.
Yeah, look forward to. Thanks, lads.
Now we'll be hearing from Pete Farries, Gav Pushlovsky and Al Ross, who are going to take you through the Football League.
Hi, my name is Pete Farries. For my nap this week, I'm going to make it a bit more complicated for myself, despite losing out on a complicated-ish bet last time around. Hull are 4-6 to beat Bolton. Bolton haven't won away from home since the opening two away games of the season, and one of those against West Brom, they didn't deserve to win that day either. Hull are one of the league's most informed sides and have just picked off Leeds United 2-0 at Elland Road, despite, for Hull, missing a couple of key players, the likes, for example, of Jackson Irvine. But there's a really good way in here, and I'm going to play a bit of a complicated one, which is Hull City to win, but Jarrod Bowen to score anytime. That right now is 9-4. He is in phenomenal form. He got a brace against Leeds at the weekend, a brace before that at home against Swansea as well, a brace a couple of games before that away at QPR. He's in great form. There's rumours of a £12 million move to Tottenham Hotspur or Everton on the cards for the 22-year-old as well. But his goal-scoring form is exceptional, so I'm going to take Hull to win and Jarrod Bowen to score any time in that victory at 9-4. There's great value in this game. Hull at 4-6 look great value as well. Very best of luck with whatever you are backing. Let's head to Gav Pushlovsky and get his thoughts on League One.
Well, let's see if we can start 2019 with a bang. My nap selection is Bradford City at 31-20 to win at home to Accrington Stanley. 6 weeks ago, I'd have been all over Accrington Stanley to win at Bradford at 17-10. Now it's all about Bradford. Since their chairman, Edin Rajic, former chairman, left, Bradford have been, quite simply, brilliant. They have won 3 of the last 4 games and they are scoring goals for fun. 3 at Plymouth, 4 at home to Walsall, 2 at home to Scunthorpe United. And last time out, Bradford was 17-5 to win away at Rochdale. They won 4-0. They even scored 4 against Peterborough at home in the FA Cup. They are on form, Bradford, scoring plenty of goals. Accrington Stanley on the road, 3 defeats in 5. They won away at Plymouth last time out. but that says more about Plymouth than Accrington Stanley at the moment on their travels. It's quite simple. My nap for the start of 2019 is Bradford City at home to Accrington at 31-20. Looking at League Two, here's Al Ross.
So Bury will beat Crewe at 4-7. That is nowhere near sexy enough as a price for a nap, though. If you're building a knacker, Bury are your team. If you're going for a single, I'm taking Mansfield to suffer just a second league defeat of the season. They are at Grimsby. It's not just Grimsby's four straight wins leading into this, 6 wins in 7, 8 wins in 10. It is the manner of them. On Saturday, they went down to 10 men with 30 minutes left, conceded an equaliser, and they still beat Exeter. Yes, they were battered, but James McKeown is a keeper in rare form. That is a huge plus. And at the same time, Mansfield were deservedly dropping points at home to Swindon in a goalless draw. And the Traders are making Mansfield evens after 10 points from 4 games. That just doesn't add up, though. Over half their games this season have been draws. They've only got 3 away league wins. So even money? No. A draw? Well, maybe. But Tranmere, Exeter, Notts County and Swindon love a draw. In December, Grimsby beat them all. And on a run of 6 straight home wins outside the EFL Trophy, Grimsby are a huge 14-5.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.